blessings beyond number. Blessings not only for this life, but blessings for all of eternity. They are yours, my friends. They are yours because the true eternal Son of God was willing to be born as that tiny little baby in a manger in Bethlehem so many years ago. Amen. Dear fellow worshipers of the Christ Child, are you familiar with a man called Cerinthus? Cerinthus came on the scene about 88 AD and is noted for promoting a heresy called Docetism. Docetism teaches that all physical matter is inherently sinful. And since all physical matter is inherently sinful, Cerinthus said that Jesus could not and did not have a physical body. He maintained that Jesus had a spiritual body, not a body with flesh and blood and bones like you and I have. Are you familiar with a man by the name of Paul from Samosata? Paul of Samosata was living in the mid to late 200s, and he is known for developing a heresy called dynamic monarchianism. Dynamic monarchianism teaches that there is an impersonal divine power, a power that was given to Moses, a power that was given to the prophets of old, and a power that has now been given in the highest degree to Jesus of Nazareth. Paul of Samosata taught that over the course of the years, and because of a proper use of that divine impersonal power, God adopted Jesus to be his own dear son. Are you familiar with a man by the name of Arius? Arius taught that Jesus was created by the Heavenly Father. And the reason the Heavenly Father created Jesus was so that through Jesus, God might be able to create the heavens and the earth. This heresy was causing so much trouble in the early Christian church that in the year 325 AD, the church convened a council in the city of Nicaea. There at the Council of Nicaea, the Christian church formally adopted what you and I know as the Nicene Creed, the creed that we still confess right down to this very day, the creed that so beautifully proclaims that Jesus is the divine Son of the one and only living God. Are you familiar with a man by the name of Nestorius? Nestorius was consecrated as the Bishop of Constantinople on April 10 of the year 428 AD. Nestorius maintained that Mary did not give birth to the Son of God. Nestorius said that Mary gave birth to a regular, ordinary human being, and then through that child, the Holy Spirit worked, and in that child, the Holy Spirit dwelt like God might dwell in a temple. These four men, and sadly, many more, have at least one thing in common. Each and every one of them tried to explain the incarnation of the Son of God in a way that made logical sense to their limited minds. In other words, their key problem, though not their only problem, their key problem lied in the fact that they were trying to interpret what Scripture says instead of simply and faithfully proclaiming what Scripture says. I am not here today to try and interpret for you what I think the Apostle John is proclaiming here in our text for today, even though I don't completely understand everything that is recorded in this text, even though many of you would be able to raise your hand and ask me a question to which I would need to reply, I don't know. I will strive to the best of my ability to proclaim to you what John proclaims to us here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That proclamation centers on the truth concerning the incarnation of the Son of God. That proclamation centers on the truth that the Word became flesh. As we study these glorious words this morning, my friends, we're going to focus our attention on three things. First of all, let's look at what the Apostle John proclaims concerning the Word who became flesh. Then, let's look at what John the Baptist proclaims concerning the Word became flesh. And then, let's see what you and I are to proclaim concerning the Word who became flesh. What is the Apostle John proclaiming to you and to me this morning? Look at the opening verse of our text. John writes, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." Very literally, the Greek here reads, "The Word became flesh and tented among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." If you are at all familiar with the Gospel of John, then you know that the first chapter of John's Gospel is dedicated to proclaiming the truth that Jesus is the incarnate Word of God. And when we are willing to simply let Scripture speak for itself, when we are willing to set aside our own ideas, our own opinions, our own preconceived notions, and even the limitations of our natural mind, then there is no question that when John talks about Jesus being the Word who became flesh, he is proclaiming that Jesus of Nazareth is the eternal Son of the one and only living God, absolutely equal to both God the Father and God the Son in every single way. To help make that truth crystal clear, all we have to do is to go back to John chapter 1, verse 1. In the NIV, John 1, verse 1 reads, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." A very literal translation of the Greek here would go like this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was beside God," or "the Word was in the presence of God, and God was the Word." Well, I cannot fully comprehend the words that John writes here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I, by faith, accept and believe what John is proclaiming. Now combine what John says in John chapter 1, verse 1, with what John proclaims concerning the Word who became flesh in the opening verse of our text. "We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Do you remember when the Apostle John saw the glory of the Word who became flesh? In Matthew chapter 17, we're told that Peter took with him Peter, James, and John up to a high mountain where he was transfigured before them. You may recall that Jesus' face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. On that first Easter Sunday, when the Word who became flesh physically rose from the dead, he appeared to his disciples in that locked room and said to them, "Peace be with you." John was there, my friends. John was an eyewitness to the glory of the resurrected Christ. Once again, I may not be able to completely comprehend what John is proclaiming here in our text, but by the grace of God, I do believe it. Very simply, John proclaims to us that the child of Bethlehem, born in a manger so many years ago, is indeed the Word who became flesh and tented among us. He is the one and only. He is the only begotten Son of God who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now let's look at what John the Baptist proclaims to us concerning the Word who became flesh. In verse 15 of our text, we are told, John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.'" At first glance, it might seem as though the proclamation that John the Baptist gives concerning the Word who became flesh is a little bit confusing, but in reality, it's actually very simple. Even though John was 6 months older than his brother Jesus, even though John had already begun his public ministry and gained a reputation for being a very powerful prophet, a very powerful preacher, he was still able to proclaim to the people, "He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me." John the Baptist realized, and John the Baptist clearly proclaimed, that his God-given role was to prepare the people and to point the people to Jesus the Christ, the eternal Son of God, the Word who became flesh to save us from our sins. That leaves just one more question to address then this morning. What are you and I to proclaim concerning the Word who became flesh? Instead of trying to interpret what the Apostle John says, instead of trying to interpret what John the Baptist says, instead of trying to follow in the false, misleading footsteps of men such as Cerinthus or Paul of Samosata or Arius or Nestorius, our goal is actually quite simple, my friends. We need to faithfully proclaim what Scripture says concerning Jesus, the Word who became flesh. When that glorious proclamation is our focus, then we will always have wonderful things to proclaim to the people around us. If nothing else, look at what the Apostle John says to us concerning Jesus that we can proclaim to others in verses 16 through 18 of our text. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. Think about what those words proclaim to you. Through Jesus Christ, the Word who became flesh, we have been given the gift of saving faith in our heart, a blessing that we will want to proclaim to others. Through Jesus Christ, the Word who became flesh, we have been given the gift of complete forgiveness for all of our sins, a blessing that we will want to proclaim to others. Through Jesus Christ, the Word who became flesh, we have been given the gift of eternal life in heaven, a blessing that we will want to proclaim to others. Through Jesus Christ, the Word who became flesh, we have experienced on a first-hand basis, we have experienced the grace and the truth of God, blessings that we will want to proclaim to others. Through Jesus Christ, the Word who became flesh, we know the one and only living God. We know who he is. And we know what he has done to save us from our sins. Surely, my friends, that is a blessing that we will want to proclaim to as many people as we possibly can. All too often, people will listen to what we proclaim concerning the Word who became flesh, and then they'll respond with something like, "Well, that's just your interpretation." Do not allow them to get away with that false statement. We do not strive to interpret what the Bible proclaims. History has proven on more than one occasion that as soon as we mortal sinful human beings try to impose our interpretation on what God has revealed to us in his holy word, well, we always end up teaching some kind of heresy. My goal and your goal is exactly the same. Our goal is to faithfully proclaim what Scripture teaches concerning Jesus, the Word that became flesh. Only by proclaiming the truth of Scripture will we enjoy the wonder of the truth that Scripture proclaims to us, including the truth that the Word became flesh to save us from our sins. To God be the glory. Amen.